Hi, this is Joanne Burkhile, and welcome to week 7 of our new blog series called How Einstein Would Get Pregnant. We hope a fun and educational way to think about the mind-body connection as it pertains to our fertility. This week, we intend to cover how our brain actually does communicate with our ovaries and uterus in our monthly feedback loop that is our reproductive cycle. So it's a little bit of a biology discussion, but I promise that it will be interesting. Consider this to start with, that your reproductive cycle is one elegant system of communication loops, kind of like a line of dominoes. Every single event that happens in our reproductive cycle leads to another event, which leads to another event. The first event, of course, though, needs to happen. That first domino needs to fall for the rest of the dominoes to fall. And if one domino is out of place a little bit, it could, you know, have repercussions for the rest of the dominoes. So let's talk first about the brain, and specifically the glands in our brain that are associated with our reproductive health. And there are two glands in the brain called the hypothalamus and the pituitary. They're both located right next to each other. The hypothalamus is about the size of an almond, located in the center of the brain behind our nose in between our ears. And the pituitary is about the size of a pea, located right underneath the hypothalamus. So first, let's talk a little bit more about the hypothalamus. And the best way to describe the hypothalamus is it performs the service of acting as a peacemaker, or I even like to say as a referee, because what it does is it regulates homeostasis in the body, from sensing body temperature, hunger, and thirst, actually including stress and reproduction, of course. And it takes this information from all parts of our bodies, and it gets this information from our nervous system. And then what it does is that it sends data via hormones to help the body provide balance. So in more technical terms, it links the nervous system with our endocrine system. And so whether the hormones or the hypothalamus is telling us to eat, or it increases our body temperature, or through the stress response activates our fight or flight, it helps us to provide the activity required for our bodies to stay healthy, out of harm's way, and to get our bodies ready for reproduction. And I would just kind of summarize the name of the game for the hypothalamus is really all about balance. And an interesting side note, I did just mention it, but let me expand on it a little bit, which is, you know, isn't it interesting to note that this gland, again, the hypothalamus, very small, about the size of an almond, is not only responsible for our reproductive health, but also regulates stress. And so what would you think would take precedence in the brain, responding to danger or ovulation to procreate? And what if the stress is always there, or chronic stress? What does that do to the hypothalamus? But I won't cover this. That's a whole different topic. It's one that we will cover and we have covered, and that's the stress and fertility connection. So then secondly, the pituitary. Part and parcel with the hypothalamus, again in the middle of the brain, is the pituitary, which again falls right below the hypothalamus. And actually the pituitary is called the master endocrine gland in the body. But even though they call it the master gland, it's still the worker bee and is directly controlled by the hypothalamus. And the pituitary gland secretes hormones, again, relating to homeostasis, including hormones that stimulate other endocrine glands as well. But the hypothalamus instructs the pituitary through the release of gonadotropin-releasing hormone, or GnRH, to release hormones to the ovaries. So again, that first domino that starts the cycle each month is the release, or the release from the hypothalamus to the pituitary of the GnRH hormone. The hormones that the pituitary gland then in turn secretes to the ovaries, luteinizing hormone, or LH, and follicle stimulating hormone, or FSH, both of which move down or travel down to the ovaries and do different things with the ovaries. And that's another topic for another time. And what happens is that the FSH and LH increase in amounts and are sent down to the ovaries. The ovaries accept those instructions and begin to stimulate one or more follicles to grow for that month cycle. And what happens in response to this activity, the ovaries in turn release estrogen, which then is sent back to the pituitary and tells the pituitary to increase FSH and LH in a feedback loop. So again, the estrogen moves from the ovaries up to the pituitary. The pituitary then responds by increasing the amounts of FSH and LH. And as you probably know, right before ovulation, you have your LH surge, which then allows the ovary to release a fully formed egg into the fallopian tube. Now, after ovulation, and this is independent of whether or not the egg becomes fertilized, the follicle that released the egg, and at this point that's called the corpus luteum, begins to emit progesterone. Now, that progesterone, which is another hormone that's introduced after after ovulation again, it tells the uterus to build nutrients in blood to accept the fertilized egg. Again, no matter whether, you know, it doesn't matter whether or not that egg has been fertilized at that point. The egg actually stays in the fallopian tube for a few days, hopefully gets fertilized, and then floats around in the uterus for a while until it either implants into the walls of the uterus in pregnancy. And of course, if there's no pregnancy, there is no fertilized egg, nothing is implanted, the uterus sheds the lining during menstruation. But what happens during the second part, from a feedback loop perspective, the second part after ovulation, estrogen actually decreases because it's post-ovulation and the progesterone is increasing. And because the estrogen is decreasing, LH and FSH also fall until the cycle starts again at the beginning of the month or beginning of menstruation, when the hypothalamus begins sending GnRH to the pituitary. We actually included a quick and easy slideshow in our blog post if you wanted to go back to circlebloom.com/blog, and you'll be able to find week 7 fairly easy of our How Einstein We Get Pregnant blog series, which hopefully summarizes this as well for you. Also, Wikipedia has excellent articles. They do get very technical, but if you searched on either LH or FSH or pituitary hypothalamus, you will get an excellent explanation if you wanted to explore this further. And I just think that all of this information, it's not something that you need to know, of course, to get pregnant. But, you know, one central tenet that we hold at Circle and Bloom is that knowledge is power. It empowers us to be able to take certain steps in a positive way. We feel better about our situation when we feel in greater control. So I hope that this gives you a better understanding of how, you know, your monthly cycle works with each other. And when we use our mind-body communication power, when we use our visualizations and relaxation and see what should be happening during that part of our cycle, we get more granular with our thoughts and intentions that could just make those intentions and those visualizations much more impactful as it pertains to improving our fertility. So with that, again, I welcome any feedback, whether you disagree with what I have put forth, or whether you do agree and have some thoughts to for next week's session or the week after. In fact, I do know, and I can make this claim right now, that week 8, we're actually going to be switching gears a tiny bit and talk about adoption for purposes of celebrating National Adoption Awareness Month, which is in November. And we'll have a special guest, one of my dearest friends, who just 2 weeks ago adopted a little baby boy in Florida. And she shares with us the entire experience and has some great suggestions for those who may be, you know, in later stages of deciding to adopt or maybe just, you know, kind of wanting to get some more information and hear the experience from somebody else. So it'll be an excellent podcast, and I hope that you take a listen. Again, that will be week 8, and we'll do a special focus on adoption for National Adoption Awareness Month. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast. Please come back and read the blog, circlebloom.com/blog. Or please shoot me an email, joanne@circlebloom.com. That's joanne@circlebloom.com. Thank you so much.